Welcome to the Redemption Life Church Podcast. Get ready for a powerful, life-changing message of freedom and encouragement. When you are in the Brookville area, join us for an exciting and uplifting worship experience. Times and locations available at www.redlifechurch.com. Follow us on Twitter at Red Life Church and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/redlifechurch.
It's my honor to be here with you guys today. You guys are a good-looking crew. Turn to somebody and say, man, you're looking good today. Lie to him if you need to. It's okay. We'll ask for forgiveness later. It's good. Amen. Good to see you guys this morning. We are in the middle of a series we've been talking about over the last few weeks here at Red Life called Church Doesn't Work. Church doesn't work, but Jesus does. Amen. And we've been looking at this idea and kind of unpacking this really big statement and really big thought and just taking some time to work through it. We're going to work through it a little bit this morning as well. But here's the situation. Jesus in Matthew chapter 16 said this. He said, if anyone wants to be my disciple, he must take up his cross and follow me. If you seek to keep your life, you'll lose it. If you lose your life for my sake in the gospel, there you will save it or you will find it. Now, nowhere in the gospels, nowhere in this book will you find that Jesus told you and me that the ultimate epitome of being a Jesus follower is simply attending church every Sunday morning. Amen? And if I have an attitude that says in any way, shape, or form that if I just go to church, if I just go to church, that will somehow fix my life, that will somehow change my life, that will somehow bring the things, listen, I'm going to have my expectations sorely disappointed, because friend, just coming to church doesn't work. It's only when I truly begin to follow Jesus that his life begins to unfold and unpack in my life. Amen? Now, I should tell you from the outset here this morning, I have, this isn't a spiritual gift you can find in the Bible, but I think I've discovered in my life, I have a spiritual gift of ruining moments. I'm a habitual moment ruiner, and I believe the Lord would have me to completely operate in that gift this morning, because today I'm going to kind of ruin this Easter for you for just a minute. I'm going to ruin it for just a little bit, but I do believe for some of you, even though a traditional holiday may get ruined for a few minutes, it's also going to become very, very real for some of you this morning. Amen? Let's pray. I know you guys can feel the nervous tension in this room. And I just want you to know that doesn't bother me at all. I dig it, okay? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for your presence here today. I thank you for your anointing in this place through the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that we have cause to shout. We have cause to celebrate. We have cause to have a big, big time because you are a big God and you showed up for us in a big way 2,000 years ago when you allowed yourself to be crucified and then you resurrected from the grave, Lord. And because of that, we find life in you. And I pray this morning, in these few moments we have together, that God, you would become, Easter would become so very, very real to our lives, Lord God, that it would absolutely rock our worlds and leave us forever changed. In Jesus' precious name, everybody said, amen. Now today I want to zero in on probably, if you have been to church on Easter or any other Sunday or grown up in church, you've probably heard this scripture. I'm just going to give you, we're going to look at one scripture this morning as we talk about this idea that just coming to church doesn't necessarily work the way I may think it will. We're going to look at one scripture, one very small part of the Easter story that you're probably familiar with, but when you really begin to think about it and look at it and unpack it, man, it speaks so much to us today. We're going to be in Mark chapter 15, verse 21. No, don't put it on the screen yet. We're going to read it in just a second. But in Mark chapter 15, this intersection happens between two people, Jesus and this guy Simon. You see, in the Bible, in Jesus' time, of course, the New Testament, for rightful reason, focuses on Jesus, and we see what Jesus is doing. And Jesus, for his 33 and a half some odd years that he lived on the earth, he's doing all the great Jesus stuff that we know him to do. He's praying for the sick. He's raising the dead. He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He's telling people about what God truly wants and what it means to follow him and setting everyone up for this moment that he is entering into at this moment where his life intersects. At the same time, while Jesus is ticking off religious people and being tried, being whipped, being beaten, being convicted of a crime he really didn't commit, being sentenced to death, and being ready to face crucifixion on a Roman cross. At the same time that is happening, there is this guy named Simon. Everyone say Simon. There is this guy named Simon from a town called Cyrene. Cyrene is about 900 miles across the Mediterranean Sea from Jerusalem on the northern coast of Africa. And at the same time, all these things are happening to Jesus. While Jesus is being tried, while Jesus is being whipped, while Jesus is being confused, convicted, while Jesus is having the crown of thorns placed on his head, Simon and his family, in particular his two sons, are making that 900-mile journey across the Mediterranean Sea. This journey probably took weeks and cost a whole lot of money for them to do, but they are on en route to go to Jerusalem to celebrate the Jewish holiday of Passover. Passover was a Jewish holiday instituted by Moses in the Old Testament, and it was a celebration of where the 10th plague that finally caused Pharaoh to release the Israelite people from bondage. And the Passover said this. God told Moses, he said, listen, he said, I'm going to send an angel throughout the land of Egypt, and every house that doesn't have the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, every house that doesn't have that, death is going to visit that house. So tell the Israelites to apply the blood to the door of the house so that the angel of death will pass over. That says to us that when the blood of Jesus is applied to the doorpost of our house, death passes over. Amen, somebody. How many are glad that the blood of Jesus on the doorpost of your family, of your heart, of your home, causes death and sin to pass over? Amen, somebody. So they were there to celebrate that festival. He makes this giant journey. It was supposed to be one of the journeys. It was supposed to be back in the Old Testament. It was demanded that every man, woman, and child from all over the world would come to Jerusalem to celebrate this Passover feast, okay? So Simon is there to observe the Passover. When he gets to Jerusalem, he finds this crowd. He finds the city in an uproar. He finds the streets filled with people, and he comes upon this scene that Jesus, this guy Jesus, who he's never heard of, and he finds himself in the middle of the story that he doesn't even know is being written. All of a sudden, he finds this moment being played out. And this is what happens. Mark chapter 15, verse 21. A passerby named Simon, who was from Cyrene, was coming in from the countryside just then, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. Simon was the father of Alexander and Rufus. Now, how many are familiar with that idea that another guy, how many have heard that part of the story? How many have ever really took time to really think about what was going on there? Anybody? Let me tell you what's going on there. Simon is just like a lot of us are right here in this moment today. So how is Simon just like me? Let me tell you a couple ways. Number one, Simon's just like us in the fact that he was really only there that day to observe a religious holiday. And listen, as thankful and grateful and wonderful and glad that we are to welcome you and to have you as a part of our family this morning, and that you're here to celebrate and worship Jesus with us today, I understand as well that there are many of you here this morning that really, if you're honest, the only reason you're in church today is because it's Easter and you're supposed to go to church on Easter. And that's fine. I'm not hating on you. We're not mad about it. There's no shade being thrown. There's no condemnation being thrown. I don't care what got you here. I am glad and happy to welcome you here and be here this morning. But I also want to let you know, we also understand the truth of the situation. And Simon's just like some of you, just showing up. Hey, I got a door hanging on the door. Somebody invited me. Somebody's been inviting me to that church for a long time, and I figured I'd get them off my back and finally show up on Easter Sunday. That seems like an appropriate day. Whatever. That's fine. That's really where Simon was. He was only there to observe a holiday. He was only there because it was tradition. He was only there because he was supposed to be there. He didn't really recognize, he didn't realize that his whole life was about to change. And some of you today are just here, maybe for a holiday, just here because it's Easter, but I got news for you. God's about to wreck your world in a few moments. I told you I came to ruin moments this morning. How else is Simon just like us? Simon's just like us in this. The very moment that he's forced and conscripted into carrying this cross for Jesus, this guy he doesn't even know, I'm sure that Simon had all kinds of excuses as to why he shouldn't be doing it pop up in his head at that very moment. I mean, there's just a few real basic excuses that we don't need a Bible theology to really understand. Number one, Simon's not a disciple. Isn't it amazing that when Jesus was at his weakest moment physically on earth, the people that said they would have his back and be there for him come thick and thin, where are they to carry the cross? Amen? How many know sometimes in your life we go through moments where the people that we thought we could count on, all of a sudden we turn around and they don't have our back anymore? Amen. And God had some stranger there. But Simon could have easily said, I don't know this guy. What do you ask me to do this for? I'm not a disciple. I've never heard of Jesus. He never did anything for me. Why are you forcing me into this situation? That's an excuse. Amen. That's an excuse. You know what another excuse could be? Listen, I know you may have seen the pictures, the story where Jesus is like carrying the actual cross, the whole T shape, but that's probably not what he was carrying. The vertical part was probably fixed in the ground at Golgotha where they did these Roman crucifixions. What he was carrying was the cross part, the cross member, the T part of that. And history tells us that according to Roman crucifixion, that thing probably weighed somewhere around 100 pounds. And it was about a two-mile journey from the temple in Jerusalem where this farce of a trial takes place to Golgotha. So Jesus is asked after being whipped and tortured and beaten and tried and asked questions and interrogated all night long for hours on end. He's now physically too weak to carry that 100-pound log a couple of miles to the place where he is to ultimately die. And this was very common in Roman crucifixions. It was common for people to not be able to carry that log because, let's face it, walking 2 miles is enough, but now putting another 100 pounds on it, that's a whole other game. Amen? I would need to train for that. I would need to exercise specifically for that. Amen, somebody. Simon could have easily said this: I'm not prepared for this journey. I'm not prepared to take this step. I wasn't prepared today when I showed up in Jerusalem to be put in the middle of this story that I had no idea was going on. I'm not prepared physically to carry this cross you're asking me to carry. But here's what you need to understand. Because right now in this moment, I guarantee what's happening. The Holy Spirit is talking to some of you this Easter, and he is knocking on the door of your heart, and he's saying, this is the Easter for you that my resurrection gets real. And you're telling yourself, I'm not ready for this. I didn't come prepared for this, but guess what? Here's what I need to understand. I will not always feel ready when God asks me to step out in faith. And if I am always waiting for me to feel prepared, in fact, I'll be honest with you, and I've been serving the Lord and following Jesus now for by some of your standards, a long time. By some of your standards, I'm just still a baby to this thing. But I've been following Jesus for about 20 some odd years of my life. And over those 20 years, man, I've allowed God to lead me into some miraculous places and see some crazy things. One of those being over the last 6 years, planting and starting this church. Can I tell you something? 7 years ago, when God called us to start Red Life Church, I did not feel ready to start a church. Amen? Come on, somebody. Guess what? When I was a teenager and I knew that it was my moment to go to an altar and give my life to the Lord and rededicate my life to Christ, guess what? I didn't feel ready. Amen? I will rarely, and you will rarely ever feel prepared enough to do what God calls you to do when he calls you out to do something more for him than you're doing right now. Amen? Amen? And if I wait to feel ready, I will stay comfortably in the crowd and never move out to where God's calling me to do, and I will miss the moment where God is calling me to follow him. Amen, somebody? So his excuses, he wasn't prepared. You say, hey, dude, Mr. Roman Guard, I'm here on vacation with my family. This really isn't in the plans. We didn't budget this into our time schedule. We've got several other places to go visit and see. We're on a little tourist trip right now. This isn't planned. But how do you know that sometimes we need to let go of our plans and hang on to God's plans when he has something different planned for us? Amen? You know what else? You know, most people don't like being put on the spot. Is that news to information for you guys? Are you guys aware of this? Most people do not enjoy the spotlight all of a sudden being shown on them. I don't know if you guys know that. Is that new information I'm giving you, or is that like we're all on the same page, right? Most people don't like being singled out and being embarrassed. Did you know that? In fact, recent polls say that most people fear speaking publicly more than they fear death. That's true. That's true. Most people would rather die than get up in front of any crowd of any size and talk. That's people's number one fear is public speaking. Most people do not enjoy being put in the spotlight. Do you think Simon felt a little bit uncomfortable and embarrassed when all of a sudden he shows up from the countryside, he shows up after this journey, he's going there expecting to celebrate the Passover, all of a sudden he shows up and some Roman guards that he doesn't know pulls him out of the crowd into the street and says, get involved in this story, pick up this dude's cross and follow him to the tree. You think that was embarrassing? Of course it was embarrassing. Let me tell you how embarrassing it was. Let me give you a picture. There's probably a pretty good, remember where did I tell you Cyrene was? North coast of Africa, right? Across the Mediterranean Sea. So there's a good chance that he's actually a person of color, that he's actually an African who has converted to Judaism in Cyrene, and he's there with his family. That we don't know that for 100%, but the odds are in the favor. So one thing that could, how do you think, if this is true, if he's a person of color, if he's a black man from Africa visiting white Jerusalem full of white Israelites, do you think he felt, he was already embarrassed, already felt like I'm out of place. Now he's being placed in the spotlight where all eyes are on him. Do you think he felt uncomfortable? If I start pulling some of you out of the crowd, will you feel uncomfortable? I'm not going to do that. We're not doing that. Just calm down, relax. But guess what? The thing that will bring the most blessing in my life will often be the thing that brings me the most discomfort. When God decides to send favor and bless my life, he is rarely concerned. In fact, I'll be honest, I've never known him to be concerned about Justin Bradley's personal comfort. What he is concerned about is getting Justin Bradley into a place where he is ready to be a part and be in season and be prepared to receive whatever God wants, whatever he wants to do in my life at that moment. And usually, my comfort and God's blessing, God's step of faith, are often two very opposite and different things. Come on, somebody. And what you need to understand this morning is that what God may be calling you to do that may seem very uncomfortable, the step of faith that God may be asking you to take in your heart and in your life this morning may be something that is completely embarrassing and may feel completely uncomfortable, but I've got good news for you. The thing that brings the most blessing will often be coupled with the thing that brings you the most discomfort. And if I want God to move in my life, and if I want to be who God's called me to be, and if I want Easter to be real, and I want the resurrection to be real in my life, then I'm going to have to get over my own personal comfort. Amen, somebody. So that God can do what he wants to do. Now, this moment changed everything about Simon's life. The scriptures don't necessarily bear this out. In fact, we don't see Simon of Cyrene's name mentioned again. What we do see a few years later in the book of Acts, we see that some Christians from Cyrene go to Antioch, and they are the first people to preach the gospel to non-Jewish people in Antioch. And for the first time, what are known as Gentiles, non-Jews, get saved and discover Jesus. And guess what? That's good news for all of us, because as far as I know, all of us in here are Gentiles, and because of those men from Cyrene who went to Antioch and first preached Jesus to non-Jewish people, we are here today. We know Jesus. We are celebrating Easter. Guess what? There's probably a really, really, really good chance that Simon went back to his hometown of Cyrene, told this amazing story that he was a part of, talked about this Jesus that he carried his cross for, took him to the grave, watched him die, and then heard 3 days later how he had been resurrected and the tomb was empty, and that started a revival. It changed everything about his life. Not only did it change everything about his life, it changed everything about his family. You say, well, why is Mark, the gospel writer, why is he mentioning that he's, who cares who his sons are? Nobody asked you who your sons were, dude. Why is this even an important part of the story? The reason that's mentioned is because 2,000 years ago when Mark is writing this letter, he knows that the people that are originally reading it, they know who Alexander and Rufus are. Those names have significance to them. If it has significance to that church, guess what that means? That means that Simon's two sons, Alexander and Rufus, not only did it change his life, but it changed his family's life. They were a part of that church as well. In fact, in Romans chapter 16, Paul himself mentions Rufus. He says, hey, tell Rufus I said what's up when you see him. That's my translation. That's the Justin Bradley translation. Look for that on bookstores everywhere later. No, I'm just kidding. But that's what he says. Paul greets him. He says, tell Rufus I said, hey. So for Paul to do that means that Rufus now is a part of that early church, following Jesus, serving Jesus. That moment changed everything for Simon and his boys and his family. And what was it about that moment? What was it that made that moment different than every other moment in Simon's life. He was already a believer in God. He was already following all the rules. He was already following the tradition. He was already doing everything that, you know, he was supposed to do. He believed. He was a good guy. He was raising his family. He was a good dude. He did everything he was supposed to. What made that moment different? The only thing that I can see that makes that moment different, that sets up a change in his entire life and his entire family, is in that moment, he stopped simply watching something happen in front of him and actually got actively involved in his own faith. Up until that moment for Simon, he believed the right way. But it was all just about observing the law. It was all just about observing the rules. It was all just about doing what you were supposed to do, being where you were supposed to be, believing what you were supposed to believe, being right about what you're supposed to be and right about. You know, do this, do that. It was all just about watching and observing. But in that moment, he was called out of the crowd into the street, and he stopped simply observing something going on and got actively involved in it. Amen? And listen. When you begin to get actively involved in your faith, that's when change happens. But to get actively involved following Jesus means I'm going to have to leave the discomfort of the comfort of the crowd. Simon is in the crowd watching this moment take place, this historical moment. And all of a sudden, he's called out of the crowd to actively participate. And let me tell somebody something this morning. For some of you, that is the same call that God has for you this morning, this Easter Sunday. For some of you, the Holy Spirit is calling you out of the crowd, out of just believing, out of just watching and observing the right things, and calling you to actively follow Jesus, whatever that means. Now, I imagine that facing all that discomfort, getting out of the crowd, getting into the street, I can imagine that that was a very uncomfortable and uneasy and unpleasant moment. I mean, we can glorify it and talk about how God helped him, but here's the deal. He really physically had to carry that 120-pound beam a couple of miles. He really had to. And not only, guess what? Jesus had already been beaten to smithereens. His back had been whipped. The flesh had been ripped from his body. That log would have been covered in blood and flesh and all of the stuff that Jesus had put on it. So it was messy. And it was hard. And it was dirty. And it was uncomfortable. But I guarantee you, if you were to ask Simon a year, 2 years later, Simon, was that moment worth it? I guarantee you he would have said yes, because I saw something in that moment that all of my years of observing the rules and all of my years of believing the right way and all of my years of just believing in God and doing what I saw something in that moment that I had not seen yet in all those times. And I believe the Lord has something for you to see this Easter if we'll allow him to call us out of that comfortable place. If we'll allow him to ruin our holiday, if you allow him to ruin your holiday, what you're going to discover is the resurrected life that God has for you. It's Easter, Pastor. You're supposed to make it. We're supposed to be set. We're going to shout in just a second. But here's the thing. I can't get to the resurrection unless I allow myself to go to the cross. See, what Justin Bradley often wants is I want the power of God, I want the resurrection, I want the benefit, I want the blessing, but I don't want to go to the cross for it. Amen? But the only way, the only reason that we have anything to celebrate in the resurrection is because Jesus went to the cross. Amen? The only thing that led Simon to discovering Jesus resurrected was he was willing to follow him to the cross. Come on, somebody. And listen, this morning, if you want to discover resurrection, if you want something to celebrate about, if we want something to truly experience Easter about, then I've got to let myself go to the cross. I got to let myself go to the cross. Well, I thought God just wanted to bless me. I thought God had all. He does, man. God's resurrected life, the life that he created you for, the life that he's destined you for, the life of purpose that he has for you, the life of joy that he has for you, the life of peace that he has for you, the life plan. Listen, God told Jeremiah in the Old Testament, he said, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. And he has all of those things available to you and me. But friend, I can't get any of those things. I will never discover any of those things unless I allow my version of my life to die so that I can pick up his version of his resurrected life for me. I can't get to the resurrection when I'm constantly trying to skip the cross. That means I've got to let dead religion, dead tradition, dead beliefs that don't really mean anything to me, and dead pride die. And where dead religion and pride are put to death, faith in Christ can live. And that's what Easter's about. Faith in Christ coming alive. And the only way to have that happen is if I allow my pride and my religion to die by way of the cross. To do that, I've got to let the Holy Spirit call me out of the crowd and say, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus. Now, the Old Testament mandated that every person was supposed to come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. It's probably unrealistic to think that every single Israelite or every single Jewish belief person from all over the world at that time, listen, it's unrealistic to believe that Simon took a 900-mile journey every single year that would have taken days and weeks out of his life every single year. This was most likely a once-in-a-lifetime situation. And I wonder, listen, this is just me being imaginative and putting myself in the story. But I wonder what it was that spurred something in Simon to say, I've got to get there this year. I've got to get there this year. I wonder if it's the same thing that causes a lot of us to come to church sometimes. Something's not working, something's broken, something needs fixed. And I'm going to show up to church to get it fixed. Some of you may be here this morning. Think, well, it's Easter Sunday, man, and I know there's some stuff that's not working in my life. I know there's some stuff that's not working in my marriage and my family, and I don't really know where else to turn to get it fixed. Maybe church will get it fixed. And listen, I'm here to tell you flat out, just coming here is not going to work. But if you'll come here, let your pride die, if you'll come here and let your version of your life die and begin to follow Jesus, something can happen then. Amen. You see, listen to me now. Resurrection is not about fixing what's broken. Resurrection is about letting what's broken die so that something new can live. That's what Easter is about. Not just fixing what's broken and already dead. No, we want to let that thing get buried so that something brand new can live. And friend, God has brand new life to live for you this morning if we'll let the old die. You might be saying, man, Pastor, I just came here on Easter Sunday to get something fixed. I just came here to get something straightened out. Let me tell you something. New life in Christ is waiting on you today. If we'll allow ourselves to pick up our cross, let the old die so the new can live. As the band comes and begins to play, will you stand with me all over this place this morning? Would you just close your eyes for a second? Just as a way to just focus on your own heart and your own soul. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you personally today. I just want to simply encourage you in this place. If you don't know Jesus this morning, if you've never accepted Jesus into your life, into your heart, if you've never accepted the sacrifice that he made for you 2,000 years ago on the cross, when he gave his life, shed his blood, what we've been talking and singing about all morning long, if you've never made that a real moment for you, and let me just say this, man. You may have prayed a prayer, and I'm not questioning. Listen, you know where you are with God. But I'm not talking about, yeah, I raised my hand and I prayed a prayer and then I just went out and I've lived the same way and never really changed. It never really affected me. I never really did anything beyond that. Listen, I'm talking about you laid down your life so that his life, that's where God wants you to be. Listen, that's where the true celebration of Easter is. And my encouragement, if I could shake each and every one today, I would say, man, don't waste another Easter celebrating a religious holiday without the real resurrected life that God has for you. Don't just waste the moment going through the motions, observing the traditions, without allowing yourself to truly experience the purpose of Easter and experience the resurrected Savior. You may say, well, how am I going to do that? How do I do that? It is so simple. The book of Romans, the New Testament, says that if I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is who he said he is, that he died on the cross, he's the Son of God, if I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that I shall be saved. So it starts with the belief in my heart, but then I need to open my mouth and say something and publicly declare, yes, I am accepting what Jesus did for me 2,000 years ago on the cross. And when I accept that in my own life as though Jesus did it for me in my place, guess what? That begins the process. But I want you to understand, listen, it's not just a words we say. It's not just words we say. It's an attitude of our mind and our heart that says, Lord, it's not about my way. It's not about what I want. It's not about my life. It's about yours. When I begin to make that change, when I begin to think that way, when I begin to live that way, when that begins to influence my decisions and my actions, that's when Jesus comes alive, and that's when church begins to work. For some of you this morning, you may say, well, man, I know I believe. I know I'm on my way to heaven. I'm doing the best I can. As far as I know, listen, friend, let me tell you something. This is a lifelong journey. I've been following Jesus for 20 years. I still find things that the Lord deals with me about and says, Justin, kill this. Justin, lay this down. Justin, let's get this straightened out. Let's work on this. This is the process. This is the journey. But every step I take, I get to see Jesus in a new way. I get to discover more of him. I see more of his resurrection in my life. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm saying to some of you, it may not be that you need to get saved or become a Christian. You're already a Christian, but there may be some area that God is calling you out of the crowd from. Maybe some area that God is calling you to follow him more deeply in or more passionately in. For some of you, a next step might be right now today. The Lord might be dealing with you about baptism. Maybe you've raised your hand and prayed, but you've never made the public step of baptism where we go down in the water and we say, guess what? Just as Jesus was put in the tomb for 3 days and came up out of the tomb, new life, resurrected, I am burying my old man and I am coming up a new man living in Christ. That may be the next step God has for you to take. From the moment you stepped on foot of this campus, and my mom earlier said, we're going to do baptism. Something's grabbed your heart and said, this is for you. This is for you. And you're going, nope, I can't do it. That's not part of the plan. I got an Easter lunch to get to. I got an Easter egg hunt to go do. I didn't even bring any clothes. I'm wearing my church clothes. Guess what? We got clothes for you to change into in the back. If you can take them home, they're yours. Keep them free. We got towels. We got all of it for you so that we can remove every obstacle and every excuse so that you can do whatever God's put in your heart to do. That may be your next step this morning. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to give you an opportunity to take the first step, which is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Let's make this Easter really something to celebrate. Listen, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to do any of those things. I am going to ask you in just a moment to raise your hand. To raise your hand. That's the only public thing I'm going to ask you to do this morning. To raise your hand. And you say, well, why do I have to do that? Listen, I do know this. Jesus said, if you're embarrassed about me in front of men, I'm going to be embarrassed of you in front of my Father. And that's what Jesus said. And what I can tell you from my own life experience is this. When I respond publicly to what the Lord is doing inwardly and privately, it just brings those worlds together. It just cements the moment that God is doing. So I'm going to ask you right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I don't want you to think about anybody else. I don't care who brought you here. I don't care who you're standing next to. This isn't about them. Who cares what they think? Who cares what they say? Who cares about any of that stuff? Listen, don't miss your moment to experience resurrection because of what someone else might think. Maybe this place, say, Pastor Justin, I wasn't planning on this Easter. I was planning on just having a cute little service and going home and doing my thing. But man, I there's a step I need to take. I need to accept Jesus in my life. I need to accept what he did. I need to accept what Easter is really about in my life. If that's where you are this morning, will you just raise your hand right now over this room? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Leave it up for just a moment. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for being real and honest this morning. Amen. We're going to pray in this place. I see several hands up. We're going to pray together. I want everyone in this room to pray with me out loud so that you can hear it with your own ears. And I believe the Holy Spirit's about to bring supernatural life change. Say this after me. Say, Jesus, I come to you right now, just like I am, a sinner who has sinned. But I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross, you rose from the dead, and you did it all just for me. You took my place, and I receive that over my life in Jesus' name. Forgive me, heal me, cleanse me, make me new, make me yours in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, church, can we celebrate for a moment this morning? The Bible says heaven is celebrating. Angels are throwing a party for you that made that decision this morning. Now, if you're in this place today, you say, man, I know I'm on my way to heaven. I know I've been forgiven. I know I'm safe. I know I'm a Christian. But, man, maybe there's something deeper. Maybe there's something else. Maybe you've sensed the Lord calling you out of the crowd. Maybe the Lord's dealing with you about baptism. We're going to pray, and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit just to touch you right now. The band's going to lead us a song, and then listen. If you're getting baptized, you're planning on getting baptized and taking that step, maybe that's something right now. You're making that decision right now to do that. Listen, as soon as I pray and dismiss, we're going to all gather right over here on the corner at the outside under the canopy, okay? And you can go back and get changed. Listen, there are towels, shorts, shirts. It's all back there on the table. Grab it. That's yours. And we're ready to go. And we're going to celebrate baptism this morning in Jesus' name. Amen? Why don't you just join hands with people around you? You don't have to stretch across now, but just the people around you. Let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. Thank you so much for what Easter means. Thank you for resurrection life being made real and being made true and being made new in our lives this morning. And I pray, Father, for every Simon that you are calling out of the crowd to follow you in a greater and deeper way. I pray, Father, that we will throw all of our excuses out the window and that, God, we will wholeheartedly and with everything that we have follow you no matter what it means. Because as we follow you, even if it means to the cross, I know that resurrection is on the other side in Jesus' name. And I declare resurrection life being made real and coming alive on the inside of every Jesus follower in this house this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.
Thanks for listening. I'm Pastor Justin, and I believe Jesus has begun a transformational work in your heart through this word you've just heard. I'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. If you've made a commitment to follow Him today or have a testimony to share about what God's doing, head on over to redlifechurch.com. Follow the tabs of the Get Connected page and send us a message. While you're there, you can also give to Red Life Church and to the work God is doing here in Brookville, Indiana. God's blessings upon you and your family.